you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Haunted Playground right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. We're at liveparanormal.com. We're at hauntedplayground.com. And I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. I'm a psychic medium. I'm a 26-year talk radio host. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a paranormal survivor. And I like all things that go bump in the night and all things that don't. Haunted Playground is a show every week where I do my best to gather people that I adore. I think the best and brightest and loveliest people in the paranormal and spiritual communities. And we talk about everything under the sun because we're a family, the paranormal and spiritual community. We are a joined, combined two families, and I think radio is a great way to spread the love, spread the word, spread community, and keep telling the stories that engage more people to believe in things beyond the realm of the three dimensions. Certainly my guest all this hour is a wonderfully talented investigator, ex-police officer, a great Northeast Coast person like myself. You know him from, of course, Travel Channel's The Dead Files, and I adore watching him on that show every week. And sort of, for me, he does my favorite thing, which is to gather the information to find out why a place is haunted and why it is the way that it is. Please welcome to the show, for the very first time, the most wonderful Steve Dishavi. Hello, my friend. It's so wonderful to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely a pleasure. We've been Facebook friends for a while. We've been trying to do this, and then COVID got in the way, and now you're finally here, and I'm so glad. And what I said is true. I'm from New Haven, Connecticut. My family are cops. We're Irish, so like genetically predisposed to be police officers. And I love that you're a kind of a no-nonsense guy. I believe that at the heart of every great believer should be a skeptic and somebody who wants to do the work and do the research. And I'm sure everybody wants to know this, but I do too, from somebody who has a background in investigating and gathering facts and gathering information. How did you wind up in the middle of this community?
That's a long and very tedious question. You know, as far as people calling me a skeptic, I'm not a skeptic of the paranormal. You know, I always said I believed that there was something after we die, right? So I was never that guy that said there's no such thing as ghosts. You know, I was never that person. But I'm more skeptical of people than I am of the paranormal. So if somebody says, oh, you know, I saw this, I saw that, I'm like, Yeah. Okay. Look, how many pills do you want a day? Or, you know, what's your story? So for me, it's that detective homicide guy always, you know, looking for the other angle. but as far as the paranormal goes, everybody thinks I'm this big skeptic, and it's not true. I'm really not a skeptic of the paranormal per se. I do believe there's something that goes on after we die. I hope there is, spiritually. I really do hope there's something else after we leave this earth. But, you know, at the same time, I'm a realist. I'm a pragmatic type of guy, and I look at things in black and white, not so much in gray. So that's just me in a nutshell, basically. Yeah.
I think that it's important, and when I said that within in every believer there is a skeptical person, I think just what you said, right, that we as believers, part of being a believer, whether it's in the paranormal, whether it's in spirituality, whatever it is, it's very important that you kind of get a handle on what you don't believe as well as what you do believe, Because how can you really decipher what it is you believe in if you just believe in everything? And those of us who are trying to sort of, like I said, advance the knowledge of the community, right? If every time a rat crawls across the room, you think it's a demon, well, you're not really helping the cause because a rational person will say, well, you're crazy. I just saw the rat. So I think it's really important that we decipher. We become better believers when we pull out what's not true, right? We become, and you probably as a police officer too, your whole life, you became a firmer believer in the truth by listening to what was not the truth.
Exactly. You know, it's funny. We did a episode years ago. I'm talking, we've been on air. Well, Christ, this September, it'll be 10 years that we're on air. And we did an episode many, many years ago. Yeah. And I'm very blessed by that. But we did an episode many, many years ago in somewhere in Illinois. And we did it in this family's basement. And they had mice running around the house. And a mouse ran across at some point that it looked like a shadow that the camera picked up. So, of course, I got a million Facebook comments. Oh, my God, do you see the shadow running behind Steve and Amy when this happens? And I knew it was a mouse. And I was like, listen, it was a mouse. But you know what? You could talk to your blue in the face. People are going to say, no, it was a shadow. It was a shadow figure. Right. Bada beep, bada boop. And I'm like, no, it was a friggin' mouse. You know, knock it off, you know. But then again, like you said, some people are just going to believe no matter what happens. If the light bulb goes out, it was a demon. You know, it's nonsense.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's frustrating because, I know a lot of people in the paranormal community that are legit, right, and have actual abilities. And people that don't have abilities try to, advance on that. They try to get over on people and say, like, well, you know, I know what that all means, this, that, and the other thing. And they're like, yeah, and give me $25, I'll tell you exactly what that means. And that's what pisses me off. You know, that's where I get angry when it comes to that kind of stuff. So,
I understand it.
You know, everybody's out there trying to,
Well, but I think that's just humans, right? There's always going to be, when you were a police officer, you encountered a lot of people who were running various scams and cons, right? So it's perfectly normal that in this community, there are an amount of people running scams and cons, whether it's from a psychic medium aspect or a paranormal investigator aspect. Everybody is looking to find some way to cash in because everybody wants to be on TV.
Yeah.
Everybody wants the radio show. Everybody wants to have what everybody else has. Everybody wants the haunted location. Everybody's a psychic. And I think, like with all things with humanity, it's discerning what's real and what isn't real. And I grew up in a very negative, active haunted house. My mother was also a psychic medium. And I was in puberty, so it was kind of the perfect storm for this house that we moved into. My dad got transferred to Baltimore, and here we were stuck in this place. And even then, being in that house and realizing what it's like to be in a house like that, I make sure to always check myself for what's paranormal and what isn't. And
what's not,
I will say growing up in that house, Steve, there is enough really scary freaking stuff in the world. You don't need to make it up.
Yeah.
Like there's enough active haunted places in the world. We don't need to make things haunted that aren't.
Right, exactly. And that when you look at our show, we have, I don't know, 8,000 submissions. And out of those 8,000 submissions, maybe there's 100 legitimate haunted locations.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to vet these places because you don't know what the real, you know, what's their passion? Why do they want us to come there? What's the real deal? So it takes a lot for us to vet each episode we do. And I hate calling them an episode. I call it an investigation. But because it's television, we got to call it an episode. And that being said, I do want to announce that Discovery Plus did pick us up for another season. So 14th season, I'll be flying out June 1st to start filming that, which is, it's been 6 months since we've been on the road. and I've gotten a lot fatter because of it.
So, you and me both.
Yeah, you know. So, but yeah, we got picked up for another season, and you know, we're going to do another 13 episodes, which is the max they do for reality shows. And going through, you know, I've been dealing with the office and, you know, vetting everything. It's a tough process because you really don't know who's legit and who's not. But it's hard, you know, for me, it's like, if there's kids involved or elderly or any kind of handicap or mentally impaired people in the home that's being terrorized, I want to focus on that. But it's still hard to decipher who's legit and who's not. And luckily, we vet so very well that, you know, I can't post episodes where it wasn't legitimate at some point. Like, there's something legitimately paranormal going on. Was it 100% what they said? Absolutely not. It never is. You know, I've called people in little white lies, but I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, Steve and Amy's here. I got to, you know, I got to embellish what's going on here. And that part of it I hate. You know, we did an episode where a guy showed me a video. And I'm like, hey, you know, bro, don't be showing me videos that, you know, anybody can do this. If somebody can be there with a string pulling a drawer out, don't show me this video. But we filmed it and all, and I was a little annoyed about it. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, it's good TV, and I hate saying that word, but, you know, it turned out everybody's like, oh, my God, that was incredible. But at the same time, I'm like, when I started the show, I told them, I told these producers, I said, listen, all I have is my integrity and my reputation, and I'm not going to do anything to, you know, harm that. Make sure that we go to legit locations, because I'm not going to look like an idiot on TV. I don't make money that's where, you know, it's life-changing. They're like, you know, I'll lie about stuff because I'm living lavish lifestyle. I don't. Everybody sees me on Instagram. I live in a humble home, you know. I you know, I live in a nice home, but I live in a humble home, and everything I do is humble. It's just, I'm not going to do anything to destroy my integrity just to be on television. And, you know, and I see a lot of these other shows, and I'm not going to name any shows, obviously, but I look at some of them for about 2 minutes, and I'm like, okay, all right, I get this. I get what this is all about. But I
are you referring to shows where the host gets possessed every 5 minutes?
You know, that type of
sure.
thing. You know, and demons are everywhere, right, Steve?
Demons are everywhere. Yeah.
You know, and Amy's legit. You know, and I'll swear to that on a Bible, and I'll take a lie detector test. She's legit. If she wasn't legit, I wouldn't work with her. You know, and it took a lot for me to jump into this because, you know, I was a homicide detective in New York City. And, you know, now I'm a paranormal guy. And when people ask me, oh, you're the paranormal guy, I'm not really the paranormal guy. I do a pragmatic investigation. Everything I do is black and white. It's history. It's
right, which
it's
I love.
To the point. Yeah, and you know what? I think the two of us blend very well together. The fact that we don't talk to each other at all is very important for the integrity of the investigation. And I just think our show is a higher quality than most shows dealing with the paranormal that's out there right now. And that's without me naming any shows, but you know what I'm talking about. I know.
And I like the fact that that you have your area and Amy has her area, and you're both respectful of each other's areas. I think that so many shows that I watch, and I started watching paranormal reality shows because I wanted to get some answers about the house I grew up in, because at the time, people weren't really talking about it, and I wanted to know what happened to my family. It starts with the history of a location, which I love because I'm a history nut. And then 3 seconds later, everyone's possessed. And I'm like, but wait a minute, what about the history? I'd like to know about who lived there. Why is this happening? What else has happened there? Because that sort of, you know, a house becomes a living thing, right? Steve, a location becomes a living thing because of all the energies of everyone who's lived there. So it's like a layer cake of all the energies that have lived there since the beginning, and even things that were there before the house, like elementals and earth spirits. And so, you know, there's a reason why these people are being tormented. And like you said, they're in crisis. And when I watch Dead Files, I see my own family and all of those families. I see people in crisis, legitimately scared because they don't know what's going on. And oftentimes their own communities and religions and whatnot are telling them, you're not seeing this, you're not feeling this, this is bad, it's on you, you did this. And they're legit scared. And you're like you said, little kids are scared, senior citizens are scared. Yeah. You know, people who are physically and mentally disabled are scared. People are panicked. Parents are trying to protect their kids. And they need help. And you need to find out who else lived in this house and what happened to them. And that's what you're so good at.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, and a lot of it has to do with, like you talk about, people's backgrounds, right? Like, so we did a couple of cases where the clients were Southern Baptists, and they believe in heaven and hell. That's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no afterlife where people are floating around and all this other stuff. But, you know, when we go there, I'm like, all right, I get your religion. I get it. Listen, I grew up Catholic. So, you know, Catholic, if you're messed up, kind of, you go to purgatory for a little while, then you go to heaven, right? If you're really messed up, you just go to hell. You know, I mean, when you think about that, it's kind of like, really, that's my religion, but what's a Buddhist's religion? What's a Muslim's religion? What's everybody else's religion that has their own beliefs? So it's funny. I was watching this show on Netflix called The Good Place. And it was comical, and it was about, like, oh, you're at the good place, and it wasn't the good place, but they were talking about this pothead that had it right. Like, everybody has a little piece of what's right. Like, all religions have, like, 5% of it, and this one guy who was a pothead had 92% of it right. And I was like, this is a pretty comical show, because it was about, all right, you're in the bad place, but actually – no, you're in the good place, but actually we're in the bad place. We're messing with you. And you know, I sat through 4 seasons of this show, and I'm like, I don't know why I watched it, because it was like watching a train wreck. You know, you can't put your you can't look away.
Sure.
And I kept watching this stupid freaking show, and I'm like, you know what? It's pretty comical, because at the end of it, it was like, I hope that's how it is at the end, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own beliefs, and, you know,
sure.
And I get so mad when I run into people like, oh, you really think there's ghosts out there? And blah, blah, blah. You know, people that are ignorant and have no open mind.
Right. And scared.
They just, yeah. And, they, you know, to me, if you don't have an open mind about the universe, there's something wrong with you. I mean, you can't believe that.
Yeah, we're scared.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for me, it's like, I'm not religious. I'm spiritual, very spiritual, and I believe the universe has you in mind, and there's a reason. Like, when I met my fiance, I said to her, the universe sent me an angel. And I said to myself, I never would have thought in a million years that I'd be happy again, because I just gave up on relationships and, you know, being happy. I was just like, you know, I'm fine. I'm by myself. I'm good. And it's funny how, in my opinion, your universe just throws you a curveball and says, guess what? You don't know what the hell's going on. This is what's happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But isn't it nice? I mean, I think my mama used to always say that human beings were just smart enough to be dangerous. And I think that we as humans walk around, right? And we like this idea, like, we're the most smartest thing on the earth, which I think, like, a dolphin and an elephant are laughing as I say that. But we believe we're the smartest thing on the earth. So we think we have it all figured out. So the idea of a higher power, of things beyond our control, right, of UFOs, of off-worlders, extraterrestrials, all of these things that we might not be able to control terrify us. And when human beings get terrified, they get angry, they shut down, they go to their mammalian self and become like an angry ape. And then suddenly none of it's true, and if you say it's true, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
And it's all fear.
Well,
it's all based in fear.
Yeah, that's the whole, you have to have an open mind about things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and if you don't, shame on you. You know, I think that people that don't have an open mind, like when I did homicide cases, you know, guys would be like, you know, this is what happened. I'm like, bro, let's look at this a little bit bigger. There may be something else going on here, having an open mind. And I got to tell you, 90% of the time I was right. It was like, no, this is not what happened.
Yeah.
It may look like this is what happened. I know it looks like a horse, but it may not be a horse. It may be something else. And I took a lot of pride in the fact that I was open-minded with my cases, and that because I was open-minded, I was able to solve a lot more cases than most guys that weren't open-minded. And I think that holds true for everything in life, you know.
I agree. And was it that search for the truth? Was it that search for truth and justice that led you to want to be a police officer? I mean, why did that attract you in the first place?
Well, you know what? It's funny. You know, growing up in Brooklyn, the last thing I wanted to be was a cop, because I grew up in a very wise guy, mafia-oriented neighborhood in Brooklyn. You know, I got thrown out of high school in 10th grade, and my life was going nowhere. I was working on a garbage truck, working 10 at night to 6 in the morning. I was 16 years old picking up garbage, and you know, I was going nowhere. I used to shoot pool at this pool hall, and the recruiters that were on the second floor of the pool hall I was at, they used to come up and shoot pool on their lunch hour. And next thing you know, I'm in Paris Island, right? And I'm in the Marine Corps, and I'm like, uh-oh, what did I do? But it changed my life so much. And you know, my father's a World War II vet. All my uncles served in World War II.
Too.
My namesake was killed in France in 1942 on November 10th. So for me, the military always held a special spot in my heart. But, you know, at the time I was like, you know, I'm running around with all the guys that I shouldn't have been running around with. And my father had passed away, so I had nobody controlling me. And then the military stepped into my life, and it just changed my life completely. But at the same time, I grew up with a very valued type of family where, you know, believe in your country, believe in, you know, who you are and all this other stuff. And I don't even want to talk about how today is going on, but, you know, it's people really need to just not be so closed-minded about everything. Like, I would have never seen myself in the service at the time when I was doing what I was doing. You know, I was pretty messed up. I was carrying a gun. I was 16 years old. I was carrying a gun, you know, doing stuff I shouldn't have been doing. And then next thing you know, I'm being balked at in Paris Island, and it's what I needed, right? So... But
right.
It turned me into the man turned me into the man I am today. My, you know, how I grew up turned me into the man I am today. But when I see people so closed-minded, it kind of aggravates me a little bit. You know, because when it comes to the paranormal, it's like, oh, you're on the TV show. Oh, yeah. I guess you believe in ghosts now. I'm like, you know, you're a dick. You know, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with first of all.
Yeah.
You know. For me, it's helping people. To me, it's not a show about me and Amy. It's about the client and what they're going through.
Yeah.
And for me, it's a client-based show. Yeah. And people say to me, oh, what about the ghost? Yeah, exactly. It's about those people and what they're going through. Like, I'm friends with Morgan Fairchild, who's a well-known actress. And she grew up in a haunted house. And her mother and her aunt were very what's the word that you guys, they had abilities, right?
Sure,
so they
right,
had abilities
gifted.
And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, gifted. And, you know, I'm like, and when once we became friends, she told me how she grew up, and kind of like yourself, it's like, oh, wow. I mean, I wouldn't want to grow up there, you know? I grew up in that attitude of like, hey, daddy, I just saw a ghost. Shut up and go to bed, right? That was how I grew up.
Right.
But
right.
that was then. Like, when... Right or wrong, people don't want to talk about it because it's frowned upon.
Yeah.
which is not good.
Well, and I'm surprised that she doesn't admit to her own gifts. I had lunch with her once with our mutual friend Chip Coffee. They're very close, and he and I were having lunch once, and she came and joined us. And I thought she was, honestly, because, you know, gifted people can feel gifted people. And I found her to be, first of all, one of the smartest women I've ever talked to, one of the most spiritually and socially aware person I've ever talked to.
Yeah.
And also completely gifted, because I could feel her sort of tapping into people at the dinner table and sort of sussing them out. You know, I think people think that having gifts means that you only talk to dead people, but 90% of your gifts are dealing with the living and figuring out what's going on inside of living people. Yeah. And everyone knows she's a wonderful actress and beautiful and smart, but I was blown away when I had lunch with her. She is really one of the loveliest people, Steve, I have ever met. And I'm such a fan of her humanity.
Yeah.
She's great. She's such a wonderful supporter of the paranormal. Just a great supporter of the paranormal.
Yeah. I mean, if you would have told me 30 years ago, I would have been having lunch and talk to Morgan Fairchild every couple of months on the phone, I would have bet the house that would never happen. But she reached out to me because I was on the show. She loved the show and all this other stuff. And, you know, and then she told me about her growing up. And I'm like, wow. You know, because I remember her on Falcon Crest growing up. That's what I remember.
On everything.
But then when you talk to her, you're like, oh, my God, this woman is absolutely brilliant. I mean, she's
brilliant.
Rand Corporation stuff. I mean, she's just a brilliant woman, but she's smart enough to know that there's other stuff going on. And that's where I get annoyed with people giving me shit. Like, you know, can I say that?
That's all right. I'll get another radio course, Steve. It's all right. No, I'm fine. I'm just kidding. It's great. That's good. I'll start all over again. Totally okay, my friend. It's totally fine. I say it too.
But, you know, people giving you crap about being on a paranormal show. And this is from guys I grew up with, you know. They're like, really believe in this stuff?
Yeah, but Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Catholic religion is full of mysticism. Yeah. I mean, for God's sake, they burn incense
ridiculous
up and down the aisle.
Yeah.
I mean, and saints, and half the saints are prophetic saints who became a lot of, if you study saints, and I have, a lot of them became saints, became spiritual. They were non-spiritual people who God came and talked to them, or a spirit or an angel talked to them, and then they became believers. I mean, it's all over the place. The candle burning. I mean, it's practically like being at the metaphysical bookstore when you're at a Catholic service.
Yeah. My mother used to burn a candle if we lost something. I forget who the saint was, but she'd be like, all right, let's burn this candle so you can find your keys. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right, that's kind of witchcraft, Steve. That's the same thing witches do. So I think that one of the things I like that you're talking about is I think that if we spent more time thinking about how we're alike and less time thinking about how we're different, the whole of humanity would function in such a more effortless way. And it's the same thing with the paranormal. Just because you haven't seen a ghost doesn't mean ghosts don't exist. I haven't seen a giant squid, but I don't doubt their existence. I mean, you don't necessarily have to see everything yourself.
Right. Like, people ask me all the time, you're telling me you've never had a paranormal experience? And I'm like, no, I've never had a paranormal experience. And people are shocked by that. And I'm like, listen, I'm not going to lie and say I saw this, I saw that, but it's never happened to me. And, you know, I've been told by a lot of mediums that I'm a diffuser. Like, if I walk into a room that has paranormal in it, it kind of goes away. And I don't know what the hell that means, and I really don't care. But for me, it's like, I don't want to see a ghost. I don't want to see something paranormal. I just want to be me and do my job, you know. And they get annoyed with me when they say, it's impossible that you've never seen anything. I'm like, why is that impossible? And at the same time saying I believe in something else is going on. I mean, how close-minded are you that you don't get that? They're like, some people believe, like, if you believe or you don't. And that's not true, especially in my case.
It's a spectrum. Like everything else in life, it's a spectrum. And and your job is ghosts. That doesn't mean you want them around. My job, half my job is talking to spirits. guess what? I grew up in a crazy house full of spirits. I don't want spirits in my house. People say, oh, are you doing a seance in your house? Are you doing the spirit board? No. I'll talk to your spirits.
Why would
I want them in my own house. Right, exactly. I don't want to live in a super active haunted place. I did that and it wasn't fun. One of the things that I love about what happens on the show that you and Amy deal with every week is that, you know, people don't realize living in a haunted house, it's not like a ride on the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. It's not fun.
No.
Essence of life, right, is that it's hard, it's work. It's also wonderful, but there are some really crazy, stressful things in life. And how we decompress is we come back to our respite, our home, our safe place, and then we're ready to go out in the world again. When you come home to your house and your house is
chaos,
not
a safe place,
you never have any rest. You never have a place to feel like you have a soft place to land. And oftentimes, like it was with my family, everybody in the family's at each other's throats. Everyone's fighting because the spirits are stirring things up. And it's not a happy place to be. And I think people go, I wish I'd see a demon. I wish a demon would come to my house. No, you know what? That's the last thing
idiot.
In the world that you want. They would tear your whole life apart. You don't want that. I wish I could get possessed. No, you don't want to be possessed.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I don't like about certain shows and things that encourage this idea of everyone getting, let's go to a haunted place and get possessed. That would be like saying, like, hey, let's go to this coal mine and get cancer. Like, nobody wants that. So,
right.
You know,
You know, I have a friend, Gary, he's in the Air Force, and he's a big paranormal investigator. And he actually sent me a message, text messaged me the other day. He said he was going to some place in Florida. He was going. And all I said to him was, be careful, bro. You know, because who wants to get jumped? Who wants to get knocked over? Who wants to, who wants to get something uncomfortable happen to them? And he goes, no, bro, we're just going there to see if there's anything going on in this place. And he's a legit paranormal investigator, and he does his job right. You know, he's a military guy, so he gets it. And it's funny, it's like I say it on the show all the time, and sometimes I feel like I'm an idiot saying it, but because I say it all the time, I said, your home's supposed to be a safe place, and this is not a safe place for you. Because to me, when I come home, I feel, I'm home. You know, I got nothing going on here, obviously, but for me, it's like, I'm home. This is my safe place. I couldn't imagine, with my clients coming home and not knowing what's going to happen next. I mean, that would, when I first moved into my home, it's going to sound stupid, but I was hearing a jingling noise, some kind of a jingle on a phone or something. I had bought new washer and dryer. I didn't realize it made noises after the cycle was done. So I'm like, holy shit. Maybe my place is friggin' possessed. You know, maybe there's something going on.
Yeah.
It took me a week to figure out it was the friggin' dishwasher the dishwasher too did the same thing. And I'm like, all right, stop being an ass. This is what's going on, But,
when you work in this world, you do that, right?
Yeah, well, knowing what I know now, especially working with Amy, it's like my thoughts of the afterlife were very different from what I'm learning in the last 10 years working with Amy. You know, I don't want to be that guy that's stuck because I have issues And believe me, I got volumes. I don't have issues. I got volumes. I don't want to be that guy when I die that's floating around because I got all these issues. No, I just want to go to the happy place. just hang out. That's all I want to do. But, when you grow up Catholic, like we were talking about, you're like, all right, there's heaven, there's hell, there's purgatory. But you know what? Nobody's ever came back and actually said, this is what's going on. You know, don't worry about it. It's all good.
Yeah.
Then you get these scientific people that are like, oh, that's your brain doing this, and that's why they see a light and all this other crap. And I'm like,
right.
When you try to make it scientific, I'm like, all right, I get it. The whole Big Bang theory. I mean, where'd the Big Bang start?
Exactly.
Something had to start it,
Right. Yeah, sure. I'm a firm believer in science. But you're right, and I've had a near-death experience, And so many people, the more I talk about mine, the more I realize how many other people have had them. And I did come back different, because once you go home for a little while and you feel that sort of 360 awareness and you come back, you feel different about what's here. And every once in a while you run into somebody who has a near-death experience that was like, oh, dark things pulled me apart. But for the most part, when people pass, it's all very positive. It's very loving and warm, and sort of you come back here wishing that Earth was like that. So this thing that everybody fears when you die, oh, my God, I'm going to die, and this big, I'm going to burn forever. That's very rarely does anybody have that experience. And when somebody tells me they have, I always think, well, wow, buddy, what did you do? Like, what have you done with your time on the Earth? Because, well, you know, am I safe in a room with you? Makes me wonder, Steve, like some of the criminals that you arrested and then that were convicted, like what happens to them? What are their near-death experiences like?
Right. You know, and listen, the Earth is filled with very dark people, right? Because we see it every day on the news, how violent people could be towards each other and what goes on. How many people have been killed because of religion and all this other stuff? And I'm like, ugh, you know, there's a lot of bad people out there, and I just hope that they're going to that place that I was taught, you know. I hope that they're going to be there and I'm going to be in a different spot.
And I hope it's uncomfortable for them, and I hope it's a place of rehabilitation of some kind. I hope it's not that you go through a dark light instead of a white light, and you get on the other end and, you know, Hitler's waiting with a cupcake saying, good job. You know what I mean? I hope it actually
Yeah, what a pitchfork with no lube on it, man.
Exactly. It's my experience has all – a pitchfork with no lube has never been said in my 26-year radio career, and I thank you for that. Awesome.
I'm sorry.
Every message I've ever received from Spirit is really about sometimes folks just get it wrong. Like, they really want us to have a great life, learn all our spiritual lessons, go home and ascend. Sometimes somebody doesn't, and then – they kind of have to go through some retraining, which is interesting because when you think about that, that's almost kind of like the Catholics' idea of purgatory, right? That they go someplace and sort of reevaluate why they kind of screwed it up so that it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
The only difference is in my ideology, I'm a reincarnationist, so I think then you come back and you do it again. If you don't pass the class, you take the class again, and hopefully you pass it the next time. But
it was like that movie, Defending Your Life, years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, like that movie, Defending Your Life. You know what? And it's like, oh, go to the past lives pavilion, see who you are and all this other stuff. And if you can't defend your life, guess what? You're going back to do it again, see if you can get it right the second time or the third,
I think that's
or the 20th time,
very,
whatever.
Very, very, very right about that. It's interesting because so many of the messages that I receive from Spirit, then you see it in a television show. I see it in a movie. And it really makes you think about, I think we have a lot more of a collective unconscious than we think about. I think that we're more tapped into each other as a species than we think about. I mean, you know, we know elephants do it. We know dolphins do it. We swear we don't have collective unconscious. But it's strange sometimes how, you know, I'll get a message during a session or something about something, and then 2 weeks later I'll see a movie about it. And I'm like, well, I mean, I do think there is knowledge and energy that we pass between us. And again, it's just more about us all being the same, right? Less about being different and more about being the same.
Well, I got a question for you.
Sure.
And I experience this quite often, probably, I would say 3-4 times within a year. I experience deja vu intensely. I mean, really, I mean, bad, not bad, but like really intense deja vu. And I was told by somebody that I respect in the paranormal community, they told me that that's the universe telling you you're where you're supposed to be. Like, you're where you're supposed to be, because if you weren't experiencing that, you're in the wrong place. So I'm curious what your take is on, or if you even have a take on deja vu at all.
I think it can be a lot of things. I think it can be past life. You know, the first time, I think it was maybe 3 or 4 years old, and I saw I saw Victorian England, and it was a place I had been dreaming about that young. And I said to my mom, that's my dream place. And she's like, we were watching A Christmas Carol. She said, that's England in the 1800s. So I think sometimes it's a past life thing. I think sometimes with people especially, I believe when we're home, which is what I call when we're not here, people call heaven, I call home, that we have a soul family. We have souls that are our friends and families there that we travel with. When you encounter someone, like when you met your fiance and she seemed familiar to you, when you encounter someone that you know you've never met in this life before, but you feel like in your gut that you know them, and that's a kind of deja vu,
right.
I think that re-encountering a soul you know from another time. And I think sometimes it's just an imprint. Like you said, it's an imprint of something that, because time is also a spectrum, right? Time and space are also fluid concepts. That you were supposed to walk into this place in your life, and it was always going to happen, and spirit sort of planned it that way. And then when we walk into it, then there we are, and then it feels like a deja vu kind of thing. And that is very much about being on your spiritual path. I do think when you're on your path, Steve, you feel different than when you're off your path. I think there's just a feeling about being on your path. Sometimes I suffer from intermittent atrial fibrillation, which is a real hayride I would recommend no one ever have. And it's amazing when your heart is not beating regularly, how off kilter everything in your body feels. And when I convert back to a regular sinus rhythm, it's like suddenly everything just feels like everything is right in the world. And that's how it feels, I think, when you're on your spiritual path. You feel like you're just well-seated in yourself and your life, and you're where you belong. And then magic things come, right? You suddenly, that right house comes, the right friend comes, the right spouse comes. All the things that you want in your life kind of fall in when you get in the right place. And so I think there's a lot of that, and I think deja vu has a big part of that.
Well, that's good to hear because, you know, sometimes I think about it and I'm like, uh-oh, I hope I'm where I'm supposed to be because, you know, life throws you a lot of curveballs and it's like, you know, if you would have told me.
Exactly where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, I think if somebody would talk to me, let's say 5 years ago and told me I'd be where I am now, 5 years ago, and I was in a very, very, very dark place 5 years ago, very dark place. You know, people, you know, they see you on television, they think they know you. They have no idea what's going on in your own life. And,
Of course.
You know, I was in a very, very dark place, and I was like, you know what? What am I doing? You know, well, you know, it's scary sometimes when you say to yourself, you know, what am I doing here? You know, why bother? And then you know, things happen, and you're like, oh, okay, you know, I'll get through this. I'll be fine. And the whole thing with, you know, people are like, oh, Steve, I thought you said you'd never get married again. Or, you know, hey, Steve, you said you swore off women for the rest of your life. I'm like, you know, okay, everybody says something, you know, but things happen, right? And things change.
Yeah, of course.
Which is a good thing.
Should. That's
in my case, in my case, it's an absolute, you know, phenomenal thing for me. But, you know, 5 years ago, if you would have told me I'd be as happy as I am now with my life emotionally and spiritually, I would have bet, you know, the mortgage that, no, there's no way I'd be this happy 5 years ago if you would have talked to me. And it's funny how people, you know, they see you on, they're like Instagram, you know, oh, look at you, you're always having fun, this and that. They don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Nobody does.
No.
You know, everybody has their own demons, you know, for lack of a better word.
Sure.
And it's just, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, the universe is taking care of me, in my opinion. You know, this is the universe saying, listen, you're a good guy. You paid your dues. You know, you helped a lot of people along the way. You were a good guy the whole time. And now it's your time to be happy. So that's why you kind of embrace it now more than try to, like, oh, I don't deserve this. And, you know, my fiance has helped me with this drastically. Like, she had told me one time, she says, you don't like yourself. You don't really think you want to be happy. And I had to think about it. I had to look at myself, and I said to myself, you know what? You're right. I deserve to be happy. I deserve to have you in my life. I deserve what we have. And I think a lot of people at the negative more, and I was the same way. Look more at the negative than the positive. And looking at the positive is a lot better, obviously, than just dwelling
Absolutely.
On the negative. Yeah.
Well, so, I also think you know, and your fiance, you guys, you and your fiance have a very twin flame relationship. I mean, she really is sort of the, your soul's mate, right? So when you guys met,
that's why I named my boat after that.
Right? Suddenly, both of I had a boat named. My dad named the boat. My mom named the dad's boat after me. So I know what it's like to have a boat named after you. It's a big deal. you know, suddenly, you, the both of you, right, who had both been through your stuff, kind of found this beautiful, happy place with each other, and a safety and a comfort. And when you meet that person, and I too swore off love, and then it happened to me, so I know what it's like. When you meet that person, finally all these walls can come down that you thought you were never going to let down. And in the beginning, it's scary, right? Because it's like the devil
very
and the
scary.
Devil you don't. It's easier sometimes to be unhappy than to be happy if you're only used to being unhappy. And so I for sort of helping you through this.
Yeah, she's you know, and I did everything to sabotage, you know, myself and us being happy. It's like, what are we doing? You know, we deserve each other. And I guess it was my mindset of the whole negative thing, right? And she just took me through this whole, no, look how we are when we're together and how happy we are. And this is what it's supposed to be like. And you know, and that's hard to, when you're always negative about stuff, it's very hard to embrace the good parts. But once you embrace it, you're good to go. Then, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's like, all right, I'm an asshole. Excuse my friend. You know, I'm an asshole. this is, you know, I deserve this. Even though I don't think I do, but I really do deserve this.
Right.
And it goes for everybody. Like, you know, even with the paranormal. Like, do people deserve to be tortured by the paranormal? No. And then you try to help them. You know, and then people get mad, like, oh, they didn't take your advice. They didn't take Amy's advice, I should say. I'm like, well, you know what? I don't live there. That's their business. Amy gave them a game plan. If they don't want to follow it, that's on them. You know, I can't take it personal, you know, and nobody else should take it personal. It is what it is. You know, if you want to be tortured and you don't want to take Amy's advice, that's on you. It's not on anybody else. Don't. I think people get mad because it's like, well, there's so many other people that need your help, and they wanted your help, and they didn't take our advice. You know, okay.
Well,
what would you like me to do?
Right. But anybody who's helping and healing, and in essence, you two on that show and the crew of the show, you're helping and healing.
Mm.
You don't heal so somebody else will accept the healing. You don't give so that you can force people to receive. You give to give.
Right.
You do what you can do,
and
you hope they're going to make their lives better.
Right, and that's my whole point with me and my fiance. Like, she gave me advice that I wasn't willing to accept, and then I'm like, wait, you know what? You're right. I got to take this advice, and I got to open up and fix this. Fix me, I should say. And it made my life, you know, 100% better, obviously. But, it's just sad how some people just don't get that concept of life of, you know, you're not always right. Somebody else can give you advice and just take it, you know, and run with it.
Yeah.
See what happens. If you don't, you know, if it doesn't work out, then, you know, it doesn't work out.
I think sometimes that people, their normal Steve becomes living in a place of crisis, whether it's a bad,
yes.
I mean, in essence,
oh, I
living
agree with
in a haunted house that you're not getting away from is like being in a toxic relationship with a person, right? It's, you know, you
right,
should go,
yeah.
but you just don't go. And for whatever reason, the house I grew up in, my dad had to get transferred. Like, my parents just didn't leave that house because he refused to believe. She kept thinking, you know, as a nice, tough Irishman, if she just kicked its ass hard enough, it would go away. And it didn't, you know what I mean? So for whatever reason, people get stuck in this sort of codependent relationship with their haunted house, and they won't get out of it in the same way that people do with people. And I think that when life beats us up over and over again, whether it's people, circumstance, energies, whatever it is,
right.
that becomes our normal. And it's scary to break out of that pattern, like you said with your fiance,
yes.
and become a happy 100%, person.
Because
then you think, well, what's going to happen to me if I can't rely on my cynicism, my anger, my rage, all these different things that people rely on, my fear. And it gets scary. And you can see sometimes when you guys are doing your reveal on the show and Amy's telling everybody what's there, and you can see in people's eyes sometimes, you can see them resisting. You can see them, their mind, the wheels are turning in their brain, and they're thinking, I don't like what I'm hearing. And it's kind of like when you yell at the cat and the cat completely ignores you. Like, oh, are you talking to me? I'm sorry. I don't hear anything. I'm a cat. You can tell that those are the ones that are going to not do it, not listen, and not want to get out of their situation, because that's become their normal.
Right. And a lot of these people don't expect to hear what's coming out of Amy's mouth either. Like, I can't tell you,
it can
be a lot. 1,000 times people say, oh, I know what's going on here. There's an old lady and this, that, and the other thing. And then this is a guy. He used to live here. And, like, you know, I do the research. I'm like, there was no guy that lived here. You know, you don't know what you're talking about. And then Amy hits him with, hey, listen, you got a 10-foot demon in your bedroom that's trying to, you know, kill your husband. And all of a sudden they're like, what? This is not what I signed up for. Well, guess what? You ask for answers. These are the answers. Whether you like it or not, these are the answers. So.
And by the way, here's a drawing that will scare the living shit out of you.
And here's a picture of it,
you can frame and take with you forever. Here's an image you'll never get out of your head. Here you go.
I don't want to show you this, but this is what's going on in your house.
People have to know if it's scary enough, if it's unlivable enough, and they've tried everything, and their last resort is to contact the dead files. They have to know they're not going to hear, oh, there's a sweet old lady in the kitchen and she smells like cookies. They've got to know they've gone that far.
Yeah.
It's going to be something stronger than just.
I call ourselves the final option. You know, if you've done everything and you're calling us, especially with a woman like Amy that has the abilities that she has, I'm like, all right, so, you know, it's like going to a cancer doctor. You don't want to hear the news, but this is what it is.
Right.
You wanted the best cancer doctor in the country. Well, this is what you got, and this is how you're going to fix it. And then, you know, Amy doesn't want to tell people to leave their home. Nobody wants to leave their home. I mean, if somebody came into my house and said, you got a demon in your drum room, you got to leave. I'd be like, kiss my ass. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
Because I'm a stubborn Brooklyn Italian guy, because that's how I am. And I kind of get some people, like, I'm not leaving my home. But at the same time, I'm like, your 10-year-old kid is being tortured by whatever's in the house. Is this house really worth it?
Right.
You know, we had a case in North Carolina. I'm not going to bring up the specific case, but, you know, stuff was going on there with children. And I'm like, and the guy's like, well, you know, my grandfather owned this home, and there's no way I'm leaving it. I'm like, your grandfather, really? Are you kidding me? Your 10-year-old is being tortured here. And you don't want to leave because the house was in your family? Hey, it's not like it was a mansion that, you know, you say to yourself, oh, my God, I can never leave this place. It's a friggin', you know, it is what it is. Just move, And I don't get that way of thinking, you know, at all. But, you know, it, like I said, people get mad that people don't take Amy's advice. I don't live there. But when there's innocence involved that you're putting them in jeopardy, that's what pisses me off. Like, you're stubborn, but you're not the 10-year-old dealing with somebody coming into the bed every day. So that's where I get annoyed. But, you know,
Maybe think that you two are like Ghostbusters, like you're going to come with your little box. Mm. And you're going to suck all the spirits into it and then say this house is clean like Poltergeist and leave.
I don't think that
they understand that it's not like somebody can come into a house and just make everything in it go away in a couple hours. It doesn't – some things just don't want to leave. And I love when – we were talking earlier about the bravado, or the false bravado of psychics. I love when psychics are like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to the Queen Mary. I'm going to cross over every spirit that's there in one night. It's like, oh, okay, well, good luck. The spirits are already laughing and you're not even there yet. Because it's some spirits just don't want to cross.
Yeah.
They don't want to go away. And all you can do then is pray they're attached to the house and not to you. It was a serious night of my life was the first night I spent out of that house because I thought, what if these things are actually attached to the family and not to the house? So be thankful that moving is an option to make it better.
Right. And, you know, that's always a question I ask. You know, it's like, listen, just so you know, if Amy turns around and says, if you move, it's not going to help. That means you have issues with whatever's here in the house. You know, it's attached to you or whatever. And that's a different scenario, obviously. You know, moving's not an option. So we need to fix it. And in that case, if you don't want to fix it, then I don't know what to tell you. You know, if you move, it's going to go with you. But, you know, as far as the paranormal goes, I don't try to get into it as far as like I get questions constantly, private messages all the time. Not as much as I used to, but private messages all the time about, you know, Steve, I got a shadow in my bedroom. What do I do? I'm like, I have no clue. That's not my end of things. You know, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. Swat at it. You know, I don't know what to tell you. That's not my forte. And I've never.
I'm the historian, dude. I'm the investigator. I do the history. It's not my part.
Yeah. I'm like, and I feel bad because it's like they ask me for the answers, and I'm like,
yeah.
I don't tell you. I can only imagine the amount of messages Amy gets, because if I'm getting those messages, I can only imagine what she's getting. So
yes.
You know, people message me. You know, my aunt just died. Can you ask Amy if she's still here? I'm like, no, I'm not going to ask Amy if she's still here. First of all, really? Are you kidding me? Go to a tarot reader or something like that. I know what to tell you. I'm not going to tell you if your aunt's still there, and I'm not going to ask her, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, our thing is working for the people that need our help, and that's it, you know.
Right, right. And there's only so many people that can be helped.
Right. You know, a lot of people message me, we don't want to be on TV, but can you ask Amy to come to our house and check things out? I'm like, yeah, I'll get on the phone with her.
Sure,
right,
let
now
me give her a call.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
she'll be there in 10 minutes.
She'll probably be there tomorrow. Yeah, she'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
How it works.
She's got nothing else going on. She's on her way.
Yeah,
she's coming like Mary Poppins,
coming
down from the sky with the umbrella like Mary Poppins. She'll be there in a couple minutes. Hang on. We're gonna call her. We're going to get her there. My friend, you are delightful, and this was so much fun. Let's do this again. I would love to have you back on the show.
I appreciate you having me on. It was a good. Are we done already? Wow, that went quick, right?
Yeah, how about that? That was an hour, my friend. Yep. We did it.
Well, I appreciate
having
me on. Thank you. See, it went silent there. Okay, no good. Can't have silence.
Uh-oh.
No, but
that's
I do appreciate
good
you having me on. No,
my
but I appreciate
pleasure,
you having me
it was
on
a
and
joy
taking the time to speak with me.
I
same here.
Love
absolutely
having you, and I hope to have you back again soon. Is there a place where people can find you online or find the show that you want to throw out real quick?
Well, Discovery Plus is where the new episodes are on. The Travel Channel on Tuesday is airing us most of the day for reruns. But if you want to see any new episodes from season 13 on, you have to subscribe to Discovery Plus. I know it's
wonderful
been a big issue
I'm
for
thrilled
people, but it is what it is. Yeah. And
no,
I'm on IG
I'm on
at Steve DeShavi, and it's, you know, and my IG is just, you know, me and my playful self. It's nothing paranormal, so don't expect me to show you some demons and stuff like that.
I love it. I love it. I'd rather see pictures of your boat. Thank you so much for being here, my friend. Everybody, the wonderful Steve DeShavi. He's fantastic. What a joy to have him here. If you want any information about this show, about my guest, about Haunted Playground, about the Live Paranormal Radio Network, I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. You can book a reading with me there. I do healings. I do house clearings. Anything you need, you will find at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. We're here every Wednesday at 6 o'clock Pacific time on the Live Paranormal Radio Network at LiveParanormal.com. And at hauntedplayground.com. It's Haunted Playground, and I'm Sheena Metal. And make sure you stay communicative about the community. Keep telling your ghost stories, my friends. Keep staying spooky. Never be silent about it. Speak up about strange things that have happened to you, and reach out to others in the community for help. Uh, seek Seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, raise your vibration. I'm Sheena Metal, this Haunted Playground. I love you all, and I'll see you next week. Thank you, Live Paranormal.